It is from the second paper of the Albigen Papers by Richard Rose. The Mind is Some Observations, Romance and Terminal Cases. The different sciences of man are interdependent, even as the definition of a word relates it to almost every other word. And in examining the structure of any science or department of human behavior, we find the fallacy of one science rooted in the mistakes of another. So that it is now a question whether the symbol of the serpent with its tail in its mouth is the symbol of wisdom, or is actually a hint that all pursuit of wisdom will bring us to that embarrassing circular position. Let us look at the looker. Let us examine the postulate that man observes. All of the sciences postulate that man is not only the observer but the doer, and what is more, the doer of mighty things, the possessor of a will, the manipulator of magic, and the artist of logic. He gives himself the accolade of responsibility and a sinister godliness when he slyly acknowledges the power to commit sins. He reminds himself eternally of this prowess by romantic drama, both as an individual and as a nation or race. In the romantic drama, he is only seen strutting in the uniform of conquest, in the perfumed haze of a Romeo making a boudoir history, or he is seen posing as a saint with eyes averted. The fragile minds of youth observe these romances and are moved to action equally fictitious and to write scenes for coming generations. But death is hidden from the stage, actually. In some places, strong pressure is brought upon movie producers to inhibit them from depicting a man in uniform in a horizontal position unless he is a man playing the part of the enemy. What does a dying man think of all this romance? In fact, what does an older man think of the ambitious play and toil of his 30-year-old son? The freshman is looked upon as being green by upperclassmen who view the lowerclassmen as unwise and unaware of the true state of things. And the whole lot of them are tolerated for unwiseness by the bewildered professors. And if the professor is more mature, let us assume there is a knight or two still more mature, and ask ourselves about his reaction to the big question. What happens to the Galahad of 1,000 jousts with the windmills when the bell tolls? Why do they cover a dead man's face or pull the curtains around the hospital bed? Why do they wax and paint the face of a corpse and murmur in guilty undertones that the face of the corpse flatters sleep? Why do we pay a man to solve our ignorance with pointless tirade over the casket? When all romances and pseudosciences have failed, there is one last attempt at histrionics and refusal to part with the make-believe. If we are to look upon man as a computer, we must admit that he is beset with many problems at once and at all times in his life. The computer must feed, repair itself, and amuse itself, and create other computers and feed, repair, and amuse them. But there comes a time when the computer feels itself coming apart. The lights are going out not only in the viewing screen, but in the whole rotting tangle. Here is a chance for the computer to forget all functions but one, self-definition. If the last burst of energy is not wasted on thoughts of escape, the mechanism might, by shutting off the disturbing environment, and with the automatic decrease of sensory impulses, bring about at least one chance in its lifetime to coordinate all circuits in the memory bank and come up with a startling discovery. Let us go down to the hospital and see what happens to the computer when it breaks down. Our evidence must be second-handed because the dying computer loses its communicating power and we can only attempt to estimate its final deduction by the deathbed behavior. And what happens? Some are startled, some seem bored, and some smile. But that not smile cannot be always judged as seraphic. It may well be risus sardonicus. We do know, however, that long before the communication mechanism is disabled, and that the aging computer has a dim view of the romances of the younger computers. Dying is not always a sudden process, and some people take many years in the preparation for death. Some repent and are quiescent in their later years, but many a young man and middle-aged man swears off his vices and follows an abruptly different life. It cannot be denied that the dying man does come up with a momentous realization that he may not be able to communicate to us, or that which is not verbalizable even if he were given the mechanism for communication. Later on, also, we can deal with the possibility of there being no separate observers. But to make a beginning, we must first examine the field of psychology with the assumption that it is possible for us to talk about it, therefore assuming that we are individuals or observers. That is the end of the second paper.